Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 6th of April, 2021. Do not adjust your television sets. I have with me today Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Now, I mean, it is, but it's not. Because, yeah. As you may know, when it's just the Andrew and Kelly show, we are here to talk about security. So, like I said, do not adjust your television sets. Don't be alarmed. Not Friday.
It's not Friday.
It's not Friday, and I feel a little bad doing that to you. But, because, you know, what even is time? But, in a throwback to before we had Security Friday, we're going to talk to you for a minute, well, for a number of minutes, about Facebook. Because there's been a new wave of information about a previous data breach. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. So as Business Insider reports, we heard this information over the weekend, and they say that this trove of data that affects 533 million Facebook users, they say from pretty much every country there is, has been found on this hacking forum and just given away for free. And the data breach was a couple of years old, they said, so 2019. Mm-hmm. But like we said, it's given away for free now. Presumably the hackers got all they want out of it. And so that seems to be how it was first noticed. So they say, this guy named Alan Gall, he is the CTO of a cybercrime firm called Hudson Rock. He discovered this, it says on Saturday.
Okay.
So it says he discovered the leaked data in January when a user in the same hacking forum advertised an automated bot that could provide phone numbers for hundreds of millions of Facebook users for a price. And that sounds like when he went to, or he kept that in mind, and the next time he checked into there, he kind of put two and two together, it sounds like.
Okay. So, as we heard, this is an old hack, and the way that people got in, the way hackers got this data in the first place, is no longer a viable means to get a hold of that data.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the good news. The bad news is that this is just sort of another reminder. 'Cause tell us what the data is that they were able to get a hold of for everybody.
So this is pretty bad data. It includes people's phone numbers, Facebook IDs, full names, locations, birth dates, bios, biographies, and in some cases, email addresses. So I say that, I mean, it's obviously bad, but I noticed on Twitter some Facebook PR, I'm going to say this, they were trying to downplay this leak. You know, mm-hmm. It's only a couple years old. But as I said in my link teaser, it doesn't matter because very few people are going to be changing their phone numbers, probably not even their email addresses, and definitely not their full names and birth dates in 2 years or in those cases, probably ever. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is a thing that I've noticed a long time ago. I remember people talking about having Facebook birthdays. So they gave Facebook some other piece of information, some other date, or mm-hmm. Changed the year so that going forward, it, you know, if somebody got a hold of that data or something, then it would be wrong. And so, you know, if you go to actually try to verify that against something, which Facebook doesn't do, then it would be incorrect. And then you would fail, you know, somebody trying to steal your identity would fail the check. Right. So for some folks, that seems to be helpful. Changing your phone number is not great. You can change your email address. There's if you have Gmail. And I want to say that iCloud email has the same option where you can use a plus sign and then add something at the end of it. And then you can, that email address still comes to you like any other messages. So if you were, you know, Andrew Orr plus Facebook at gmail.com, then when you started getting a bunch of, it's like having a disposable credit card number. As soon as you start getting junk at it, you just go, I want a new number. You know, you stop using that email address for anything, or you just say anything that comes to this email address goes in the trash and you're done.
Yeah.
And then it's not your real email. So that might be one thing that you can do, is if you have the opportunity to use a plus sign on your email address, you might, it's also really good for filtering other kinds of stuff. If you have, if you get a lot of email, you can use this to route things to different folders or whatever, you know, add plus shopping and all of that goes in a folder, or plus receipts, you know, and all that goes in a folder. And then that way you can kind of sort stuff out. So sometimes that's helpful.
Yeah.
And like the credit card numbers, I know you and I have talked about disposable credit card numbers. I think you use privacy.com. Is that right for those?
Yeah, privacy.com.
Okay.
So, I mean, it doesn't sound like the financial information was included in this leak, but disposable credit card numbers, I think, is still a good idea for shopping online.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just sort of went along with email addresses, like, you know, that can be a thing. So one of the larger issues here is this is one of the reasons that if you listen to Security Friday, you hear Andrew and I tell you that you need a unique password for everything, because if somebody gets your Facebook password, that should be the only password they have. It shouldn't also be your iCloud password or your Amazon password or anything else, because maybe somebody gets your Facebook password and they can post some rude updates on your timeline. But if that's also your Amazon password, now they probably have at least one credit card, a bunch of different shipping addresses, etc.
Yeah.
So that's why different passwords matter. And in fact, we also had a LinkedIn. We had an interesting wave of information hot on the heels of the Facebook one with some LinkedIn data at the same time,
so
right?
So it sounds like LinkedIn had another data leak. Like I posted the Facebook news yesterday. Then this morning I got an email from Cyber News, who did this reporting. And it sounds like it's the same level of data breach. It says about 500 million LinkedIn profiles have been put up for sale on a popular hacker forum, which is unnamed. And this data also includes things like full names, email addresses, phone numbers, workplace information, stuff like that. But they don't say, it sounds like LinkedIn didn't really give them a comment. And it sounds like maybe we don't know when this breach happened, but I'm assuming maybe it was a little bit of an older one as well.
Yeah. We couldn't, when we were looking through the article, we were looking for where that would be, and I couldn't really find anything that said like this was new data or not. Like the Facebook one we know is older, and we don't really know anything about the LinkedIn one. And as I was saying off air, I used to use LinkedIn as an example of, if somebody gets my LinkedIn password, if I have unique passwords everywhere and somebody gets my LinkedIn password, all they can do is like update my resume. And like, that's not the worst thing in the world to have happen. If somebody wants to post some fake LinkedIn updates, big deal. But if my LinkedIn password is the same as my iCloud password or my iTunes password or my Amazon password or my Grubhub password, you know, another thing that lots of people have started using recently, there's at least one credit card in there, maybe two or three. There's other email addresses, there's shipping information, and it's probably a label on it. So now, you know, if somebody got into LinkedIn and I use the same password everywhere, now they could potentially have my name, my address, several places that I've worked. So work history, in case you need that for a credit application, a credit card, maybe a couple of credit cards, a billing address, and my home address, because I'm probably shipping things to myself if I'm buying things on Amazon or whatever. So it can be really bad if you have the same password everywhere. So one of the things that we like to talk about on Security Friday is what we can do about it. So, Andrew, what's one thing that we can that you can do right now that can like to sort of start mitigating some of this?
Yeah, so first of all, there is a database people can use to figure out if their email address or phone number has been included in a data breach. And this, I know that this is kind of built into 1Password now. I'm mm-hmm. not sure about other password managers. And it's been around for a while, so you may have heard of it. This website is called Have I Been Pwned? And that is P-W-N-E-D, pwned. So yes. You just type in your email or phone in the search box, and it will bring up all the list of data breaches if it was included in something. And they also just have a big list that you can browse of, you know, what data breach from what company happened when and how many people are affected. So it's pretty depressing to just search through that big list, I think.
Yeah, it can be rough. Now we did, I did look before the show, and I saw that LastPass offers dark web monitoring. So they say they have a database, and they will look for your email address in that database of leaked logins or breached logins, you know, whatever, wherever they're finding their information, they have a way to see if that happens, and they will send you an email. 1Password has, like you said, 1Password has this capability. It's part of something called Watchtower in 1Password, and it also shows up as a banner on your individual items, and it'll say there has been a data breach. And the nice thing about the way 1Password does it is because your data is in there and it has records of your logins and when they were created or when they were changed, the banner can change. So it will say like this, this website has been involved in a data breach since you last changed your password. You should change it again. So it will actually tell you like a little bit more about kind of the timeline. So like, what password is it that got leaked? Like they can, it says on there, like you need to change this one. So that can be really helpful.
Have I Been Pwned? They also have a way to notify you. You enter your email address, and then whenever it has been detected, they will email you about it.
Okay. That's good. I'm glad they'll send you an email. And another thing that you can do that we'll talk about a little bit here at the end of the show is something called TOTP. And that is a that stands for time-based one-time password. And what this is a slightly different way to authenticate. And so this is another multi-factor authentication thing. If you use like Google Authenticator or the Authy app on a mobile device or something, you're using these already. So that 6-digit code that has a timer on it that ticks down, that's a time-based one-time password because it changes all the time. And once you set one of those up, using that is more secure than using the text me a 6-digit number. So we'll probably talk about that on a future Security Friday because there's some really scary stories about how easy it is for one of those to get hijacked by somebody with unsavory intentions. So, but also these can make it really easy if you just use a separate authenticator app, whether you're using it with a time-based one-time password, which is also, again, a functionality that's built into 1Password, and I'm pretty sure it's built into LastPass as well. Where you can just have it automatically have that little 6-digit code timing out for you. Whether you do that or you use something like Authy or Google Authenticator or Microsoft Authenticator, or if you have Okta at work and use that, they will send you push notifications. And the push notification will say, hey, someone just tried to use your login in Portland, Oregon. Was it you? And you either say, yep, it was me, or nope, it wasn't. And then you go from there. And something like that, where it's completely separate and is not a text message, is definitely an upgrade you can make to your security. So that would be a thing that I would suggest. I will have a link to a nice definition of what a time-based one-time password is what TOTP is and what it's for. There are a few different kinds of them, so you'll want to check that out. And then also, we'll have links to the other stuff in the show notes, as we always do. If you want to find out more about this, or if you want to make sure that we talk about other security news that maybe we're not finding, you can always get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. So, Andrew, do you have any final thoughts for today?
I think that's good. We covered it.
I was waiting for, please go change your passwords. This is my fondest wish, that everybody writes in and go, you know, I hope we just get a bunch of email now that just says, I don't know any of my passwords anymore. I finally just decided to let go and let one password and, you know, let go and let LastPass. And my life is better because that part of my brain, that section of my address book, all of that's freed up now, you know, and it's great. Everything's great. Mm-hmm. So if you are that person, please write in and let us know. Yeah.
And if you are not one of those people, we do have a bunch of articles on the Mac Observer about, you know, password managers, other types of privacy apps that I've used in the past. So just search and see what you can find.
Yeah, I'll put a nice link in for I'll find a nice tag that we use for our articles, and I'll put an index of that in the show notes so that you have that to peruse at your leisure. And also, if you think some of this is overblown, I would like you to write in and tell us about that too, because we're not doing our job apparently at communicating how serious some of this stuff can be. So that's gonna do it for us today. Andrew, thanks so much for making a special appearance on a Tuesday.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.